an open door, if you will, open door. I remember several years ago when I came to be pastor here 26 and a half years ago, we were hoping to grow, and I'd asked the Lord so many times, Lord, would just give us an open door. And the Lord did give us an open door, and we took advantage of it. We prayed, we sought the Lord. So if he opens a door, the Bible says no man can close it. If he closes a door, no man can open it. So we have an open door of invitation to be about the business God has given us to do today, and we're going to take advantage of that. Thank God for this opportunity. It's not all that bad to get old. I'm getting older. Some of you are getting older too. And as we get older, a lot of good things happen. You start reflecting some things that's happened in your past. And every time you read the Word of God, you read a passage and he calls to remembrance. And the older you get, the more in your life has stacked up and accumulated more to remember. So that's good. As I was reading the precious Word of God a few months ago, I was reading 1 Peter and talking about balancing. And the Lord has given me a message this morning about that. But I was also reading the book of Peter not too long ago about going around and looking for a place to go home. The old timer said, you know, just looking for a place to cross the river. And the Lord reminded me of that time that we were in Atlanta several times, but in particular time in Atlanta where we were in a holding pattern and some things the Lord showed me. And then he gave me a message. It's triggered by the Word of God. You read the Word of God, and then he shows you something that does to me at least. In my past, a certain thing that's happened, and it comes to light through the Word of God. And the older we get, the more that's in there, of course. So I was reading the account about balances, and the Lord brought to my picture. It's a new part of the year, a new time, and God has given us so much to balance in our life. If you're a husband, you have a wife, you have children, time is of the importance, right? We have to learn to balance that time. Families are important, serving God's important, working's important, everything's important. We need to learn how to balance it. So I want to talk this morning about experiencing God's balancing program. He has a balancing program. I've messed mine up a lot. I'm sure you have too. But the Word of God this morning will help us understand and know that since God has this balancing program, remember, he showed it to us in the Word of God in Daniel. When Daniel was there in Babylon, and Belshazzar had taken those golden and silver vessels that once belonged in the temple at Jerusalem, been carried to Babylon, and now they'd been sitting there. But he, with his 1,000 lords and all the kings of the area and their wives, they decided they would drink from those golden vessels. Wasn't a smart thing to do. So in that same hour, fingers of a hand started writing on the wall, "Thou art weighed in the balance, God's balance, and found wanting." And so sometimes God weighs us in the balance. He does all the time, in fact. And I want to look at several areas of our life where God weighs us in the balance. Just hurriedly a few of them. We're weighed in the balance, first of all, in our actions. They're evaluated by God completely. Now, he gives us opportunities, what we do with those opportunities. He weighs us, he evaluates us, and he makes some corrections along the way. And as a result, we learn better how to balance the situations. I'm afraid every one of us in our life has made that mistake. Listen to some scripture. In Job 31:6. "Let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know mine integrity." And so he was pleading that this balance is awful easy to tip. You know, you got the balance and it's easy to tip it in the wrong direction. And he said, "I just want my balance to be weighed with the best weights, and only God has the best way. If you judge something or I judge something, sometimes it's our judgment's not even good. But God's balances are perfect. Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. So a false balance, pretending to do something or telling God. I remember a lot of times, don't have time to go through all that many things that God has recalled to my mind, but sometimes I'm thinking, and God knows my thoughts, and I'm thinking what I'm going to do in a certain situation, and he knows what I'm thinking, he knows what my intents are, and he interrupts and says, no, that's not the way you're going to do it. Thank God that he helps us and prevents us from making those mistakes many times. Now, if we don't listen to God and we go ahead and weigh the balance, he tells us ahead of time how to carry that balance. One of my favorite things to do is, I've never been able to see it in person, but see it on TV, someone walking on a tightrope across the Niagara Falls. That takes a pretty good balance, doesn't it? Or someone walking on high wire. I've always wanted to do foolish things like that. I just love heights, and I love things like that, as we'll see this morning. But the next verse I want to read is in Proverbs 16:11. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. The previous verse said he wanted to have a just weight to show his integrity. And that's a just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. Daniel 5:27, we already alluded that God weighs us in the balance. He weighed Belshazzar that same night, and the enemy came in. So a lot of times the enemy is out there, and God knows what we need and the way we need to walk, and what we need to think and how we need to do to avoid falling in the pitfalls of the enemy. Would God would listen to him when he advises us. Isaiah 40:12, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in the balance. God weighted out everything as he created. Of course, God's perfect. He can't do wrong. But remember, at the close of every day, he looked back upon his works and said, and it is good. And every day, and every hour, and every minute, and every second, God is looking at you, he's looking at me, and your thought pattern, and your activities, and your actions, and your attitudes, and everything he's looking. So this morning, let's look at how we can better experience God's balancing, how he weighs our balances, and how we could divide and do better than we've ever done before, according to God's mercies and plans. I want to show some slides this morning. God triggered this in my mind about some balancing actions. I'm reading something in the Word of God. Usually he goes back and he let me experience things. Sometimes it's like 15 years later that I did this, and he shows me why. And that's interesting, just like the holding pattern. He showed me why I was in that particular holding pattern and gave a message on it some 20 years later. It's wonderful. So it's not all about bad getting old if you can retain those memories and make application to it. That's what it's all about. Now remember, I'm talking about pictures this morning. A picture is worth a thousand words. And the Bible tells us that a married couple is a picture of Christ and his bride. And I preached a message in several places in America. The title of the message was, Don't Mar the Picture. Christ Jesus, remember now, a perfect picture of Christ in your mind, that he is the groom and we are the bride. And the picture of that is a husband and a wife. And I won't have time to reiterate that message, but just think now, that the picture that we have, we don't see Christ, he's in heaven. We see the bride, and we're not all cleaned up yet. Still got scars, and we still have ruffles. We still have places, but he'll iron it all out and present us a faultless bride. But let's not mar the picture. Pictures of Rembrandt and other pictures are worth millions of dollars to somebody, not to me. But those pictures, and if someone pays $1 million for a picture, can you imagine someone else going in and throwing ink upon it and destroying it? Well, Christ has given his life for the church, for the bride. Let's learn not to mar that beautiful picture that God has given us. So I'm going to look this morning. They're going to show some slides. I remember as I was reading this, about 2 or 3 years before my mother and father died, they lived down at Hot Springs, not where I grew up. They moved down there the year I was a senior. I grew up on the farm with mom and dad and my brother, a mile and a half from nowhere up, surrounded by Pisgah National Forest. But when I was a senior in high school, they moved down there. And one day before they died, I went to see them. I didn't call. They're usually home, so I assumed they were home, but they were not. And I tried to bounce 2 balls at one time and don't sit idle. So I was waiting on them, and the Lord directed my path and says, go down to the creek. The creek is just over the road. And I want to show you some things. Well, in those days, I carried my camera everywhere I went. I'd taken a lot of lessons. And this is part of the balancing act. I've taken a lot of lessons from someone that had retired from National Geographic as a photographer, and he had taught me a lot. And of course, practice makes perfect. And I went to Israel and bought a used camera, and the first day it wouldn't work, and God was showing me something. I'm trying to balance between taking pictures and learning all I can about what happened in the land of Israel. Listen to a tour guide at the same time, and it's hard to balance those things. So the Lord allowed my camera to get broken. Next time, I got another camera and practiced, and I said, next time when I go to Israel, I'm going to get those good pictures. And I did. But the problem was I majored on the pictures rather than learning. I tried to do them both, but I'm telling you, it's a hard thing to balance perfectly the way God wants us to. I'm really bad at that. So I majored on pictures, didn't mean to, and the next time after that, and the next time I majored on pictures. I didn't mean to, I wanted to do them both, but I just love photography. And that's probably a downfall. So the next time I went to Israel, God says, leave your camera at home. You don't balance it well. And I did. So now I'm over there and looking at everything, and it must be in my mind because it sure can't be on the picture. I didn't have a camera. And then I said, okay, I've learned it now, Lord. The balancing act, you've trained me. And so when I'm going to visit all the state capitals, I take my camera. And I'm supposed to be looking for something I can take a picture of to give an illustration for a message. But there's that balancing act again. Trying to get a perfect picture, pride, you know. Creeps in, we don't want to admit it. Take a good picture that you can blow up. And I'm trying, but I'm not doing good. And so I'm up on the Snake River Gorge, looking down the Snake River, a camera around my neck, and for whatever reason, that strap broke. And that camera hit the ground and destroyed a $500 lens, just the lens. Well, my camera wasn't working either. I had another lens or two, but put them on and the camera wasn't working. So all the time, God's teaching me this balancing act. You don't have it. So I get home. And when I got home, I think, I wonder if I take the battery out and replace it, it will reset it. And it did. So all that time, 20 days out west, no pictures because I didn't learn the balancing act. Wonder how many things and how many opportunities we've lost along life's journey experiencing God's balancing when we never got it. And so they're going to show some slides right now of some pictures that came to my mind that I took. That day I'm waiting for my mother and dad to get back home, and God says, go down to the creek, take your camera, I want to show you something. This is a view from the top. He's going to go through them about 10 or 15 seconds apiece. From the road looking down at the creek, And so he says, go down that steep place. Now, remind you, I had on clothes just like this that day. Didn't have tennis shoes. I just went down with what I had on. That's all I had. So go down that cliff, okay? Get down there, and there's that beautiful stream. So I go down the side there, trying to keep from going down. Notice there aren't leaves on the trees. It's winter. It's cold weather. That's a pine tree there. So I'm going down. Next slide, please. So I'm going down, holding on to limbs to keep from sliding. God says, go down there. And when I get down there, he says, I want to show you something on the other side. Well, how am I going to get to the other side? He said, see that log? Walk that log. It looks sturdy enough. And I know it's got no break with my 175-pound weight or so. So all I had to do was balance with dress shoes on. Okay, if he said do it, obviously I can do it, right? He won't tell me nothing I can't do. So I walk that, get the other side, and then I see what he means. Next slide. It's a beautiful stream, no doubt. A lot of memories came back to my mind when Mom and Dad moved down there, bass fishing, most beautiful and wonderful place to the smallmouth bass that I've ever seen. And then I see down there, hold this slide a minute. Hey, wait a minute, there is a pile of logs. That's where the creek used to be. We'll look at that later. Remember that picture. The creek used to go down through there when I was in high school, a senior. But now the logs have washed in. And the next picture shows what happened. It's been diverted. And that's what happens in my life and yours. When we have this balancing act, whatever it is, and we don't do it, there's a log jam. Things get messed up. And the way it used to go is now diverted to a different way. And the Lord said, that's why I want you to come down here and show you. And he just now, several years later, fill in all the gaps. So let's go back. Another slide, please. Well, I'm over there, and the only way back is the way I came. So go back. The beginning, and hold that slide a minute. See, as I'm crossing it, there's my shadow there in the creek, and I look down, and it's probably about 2 or 3 foot deep. It's swift, and it's cold. Thank God from the light above. I know I'm not on my own. He told me to do it. Now, if I'd have done that on my own, I'd probably fallen in, ruined my camera, got cold and all that stuff. But go back to the log jam. That's where we want to get to this morning. Let's look, first of all, at our actions. Our actions are weighed and evaluated in God's balance. Everything in our life. Go back and let God recall to your memory some things in your life where you had choices. You had opportunities. And that opportunity was very important, whether it was a job, it was someone you were counseling, it was your children at a place in the road, and we didn't weigh it properly, perhaps. We didn't pray over it. And now we look back, as I was able to go to the other side and look back, what happens? There's a log jam. What happens? There are results to our actions. If we don't balance properly, and thank God I did get back across, I didn't fall in, and I knew, I mean, it was confidence. I'm telling you that when you go by God's balancing program and he tells you something to do, and you know that you know he told you to do it, there's no fear. Absolutely, the Bible says, their perfect love casts out fear. We sang some beautiful songs this morning about the love of God. And if we learn to love him with all our heart and apply all our actions that he wants us to make the cause of Christ more important than anything else in life, fear is cast out. I remember when my father died. I got a phone, not when he died, when he had a stroke. My brother called and said, your dad's had a stroke. And he had about 90 years old, 89, I think, and going bear hunting that morning. And Mom said about 6 o'clock, she called my brother and Spruce found and said, your dad's had a stroke in the hospital. We had a watch night service that night, and it was, I was so full of love of God, I just lay there. You know, he's in Mission Hospital now, or on his way at least. You didn't jump up and run? No. There was no fear. I didn't know if he'd be dead or whatever, and that was important to me. I loved my dad more than anybody could love a father. But the love of God was so indwelt within me, I experienced the fact that fear could not get in. That verse of Scripture is true. When the verse of Scripture appeals to us and we're remembering what it says, it's true. Perfect love casts out fear. No room for it. So several minutes later, I got up and went, and there my dad lay, and he couldn't move his whole right side, his foot, his arm, his speech was slurred. I didn't pray. You didn't love your dad? Oh, he's in God's hand. I'm in God's hand. He's in charge. Maybe I mentally prayed, but I didn't verbally pray, or I didn't even pray in my heart. Just, I'm yours, dad's yours. I saw him wiggle his big toe. I saw him wiggle his finger. A couple of days later, he went back home, and he bear hunted several more years after that, and he was fine. I'm telling you that when we let, now I had a balancing act to do. Could I jump up when I got the phone call and I, like a lot of us do, and I let fear come in, and fear is unbelief in God. It's not trusting God. Or could I let that perfect love settle in my heart and just love? And you know, while I was doing those 15 or 20 minutes, I was laying in the bed, you know, like 6 o'clock in the morning. I wasn't just resting. I was meditating. I was thinking. I had like 89 or 9 all my life that Dad had had, and all my life I'd had with him, and all the peace and all God had taught me. It was just a time of love. My dad may be dying, and you have that. Yeah, perfect love. Catch that fear. Learn the balancing act. And then later on in my life, so many things has occurred, but I'm asking you a question this morning from the Lord. Has it been with our lives? Some opportunities we had, we haven't taken full advantage of it. So God is weighing our actions. But not only that, he's weighing our attitudes. Our attitudes. A lot of people is not going to do right because they got the wrong attitude. The attitude is God first in my life. Of course, our family may be first, but God second. He gave us the family before he gave us anything. But we put God first, and then our family is so important in our life. And our attitude about that, doesn't matter what he says to do, I'm going to do it. If he says walk a log, he says jump off, I'm going to do it. All I have to do is know his voice. How do I know that I know his voice? The scripture. My sheep know my voice, and they hear my voice, and the stranger they will not follow. He made it so clear. Have I heard his voice audibly? No, it's a lot clearer than that. It's a voice that he speaks to me like none other. I have never one time had to say, Lord, would you repeat that? Because I understand exactly what he says. Now, when he speaks in my heart and tells me what I need to do, my attitude has to be, you said do it, I'll do it. I remember when he told me to go to all 50 state capitals and pray, and 7 places on the perimeter of our nation, which I'll show you. My attitude was, okay, I'll do it. I don't know how. Full-time general electorate, full-time pastor, but you said do it. And then that worked out, and he planned it, and he provided it, and all that came to pass. Why? The only thing I said to him was, I don't like big cities. And that's where all the capitals are. But you see, the attitude ahead of time, when God speaks to your heart. You know why God doesn't speak to your heart a lot of times? Because he knows already our attitude would be wrong. That when he speaks, we want our way rather than his way. We question it. And we don't believe he can accomplish it. And we think that, well, I don't have the ability to do that. I didn't know how I was going to do it. But God provided the way. And the attitude is, God said it, and he'll provide the way. Our attitude about everything. Our attitude about our fellow man. A lot of times, people don't treat us right. Expect it. It's going to happen. But our attitude is forgiveness. And Jesus taught his disciples that. they said, we've already forgive. We've forgiven. We have forgiven. How many times we have to forgive? Oh, just 70 times 7 as a starter. And the attitude is, no matter what people do to you, I'm going to forgive them. It's a done deal. In my heart, my attitude is, that's a balancing act, don't you see? Everything is a balancing act. Am I going to have the right attitude? Do I believe God? Or will I let that soak in and get my human emotions, my human reason involved? And the attitude is, no, I can't. And that's another thing. We have to experience God's balancing act, and it is in our actions preceded by our attitude. Well, our achievements will be based upon whether or not we have listened to God and followed his directions. Read this verse of scripture again. A false balance in Proverbs 11 is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. If I know what God likes and I know what he wants, then my attitude has to be, I want to please you, Lord. I grew up loving my father and mother alive. I already said I don't believe anybody could love mom and dad more than I did. Not one time in my life do I remember, and I'm sure I didn't, raise my voice to my father and mother. Why? My attitude was given to me by my parents. I have to mind my father and mother. I have to respect them. I have to obey them. I have to honor them. Preconceived attitude. So no matter what, were they perfect? No, and they raised their younger son, me, that wasn't perfect either. My older brother's a jewel. He's a lot of he's the one in the family that has made something of himself. I love my brother. I love my parents. My attitude and your attitude. And your attitude will be predetermined by the fact of, do you have the love of God in your heart? And that verse of scripture that we just read, Proverbs 16:11. And then again in Isaiah, who hath measured the waters? If he weighed everything, now he weighed you and I, he knew you, he knew me before he ever formed this earth. And Jesus Christ was a perfect Lamb of God in God's mind. Now, if it's in God's mind, it's a done deal. And that's why I put so much emphasis on the Word of God. You can't overemphasize the Word of God. If a verse of scripture says, and we understand it, that God will do this if I'll do that, then all we have to do is obey the scripture. My attitude. Let's go back and look at these pictures again and see what the Lord would teach me, fresh and new. Start from the first one. First of all, he said to do it, so I'll look down at what I have to do. Start at number one, if you will, please. He'll give you a sign when he tells you to do something, like he told me to go stay. He tells you, so you got a vision of it. Can you go back to the first one, please? A view, just a view. What's a cold creek there? I don't know what I have to do when I get there. All I know is get your camera around your neck. I had a big heavy lens that day. And I don't have any clothes to change. Just go like you are. I want to show you something. Well, where do you want me to go down? Right here. I could have walked on down. I know the stream. I used to fish it and found a more pleasant place. He said, go down here. I didn't argue with God. My attitude was, I want to do what he tells me to do because he's going to show me something. Then I went down it, holding on. And when I had a better view. Isn't it true? That when you proceed to do what God, it was a view from the top, through the limbs, through the trees. You don't see very much when God first tells you to do something. But then when you get into it, he opens the view. And there it is, a beautiful stream. And down at the bottom, he says, look down there. I want you to go down there where that log formation is. That means I have to go around the side of the cliff. Holding on, scooting on, getting my pants dirty, trying to keep my camera out of the water. But that's okay. I get down there, and it's so clear. I want you to go to the other side. His directions is so clear. How am I get to the other side? There wasn't a grapevine to swing on. There wasn't a helicopter. He provides the means. Now all I have to do is walk the log. I know it won't break. My reason says it won't because it looks sound. It's big enough. But my reason didn't do it. What I was really concerned about, if anything, was falling off the log, scooting off the log. I wasn't going to crawl across. He said walk across. It's just like anything else. When he tells you to do a project or anything, you get a view of it, and then you go down the way. If I went down another way and crossed the log, I'd probably fall in the creek. You go God's way. Then when they're getting across that log, across that log, and then there's another log. And I get the other side. Wonder what he's wanting me to do over here. Why did he do that? Just to see if I can walk the log? No, he knew all that. Another extended view. And then the next picture is, this is what really took me. And I just paused, and I think I just sat down, and Lord, it's starting to manifest now. I used to fish and catch some fish where those logs are, but the log caused the creek to go in a different direction. And he didn't show me so much then, but now 15 years later or so, ever how long it's been, he shows me. How many log jams are there in my life and yours, which has caused our life to go in a different direction than what he wanted? You see the different direction? Used to go on the left, and now it's on the right. A whole new avenue. Is it better or is it worse? You have to analyze that yourself. See, this balancing act, experiencing God's balancing act, takes a lot of analysis. You have to go back and say, well, something caused a log jam. Are there jams in your life and mine? Are there things that's all clogged up and almost irremovable? Well, thank God he does provide another way. That's a wonderful thing about it. When we go astray, and when we do something that causes a jam or a really mess, thank God for forgiveness. He opens up a new avenue. It probably will never be as good. I don't see any great fishing holes down that one like that. Oh, man, I've caught some bass down there you wouldn't believe. And now over here, well, I don't get fishing anymore because it's posted. It was then, but I knew the person that owned it, so he let me fish, got permission to fish. But God has the way and the will that he provides for us. And everything in their life is trust, a predetermined attitude. If you say it in your word, I'll believe it, I'll accept it. If you tell me by instructions what to do, how to do, when to do, I'll tell it and I'll do it with no fear. If God tells me to preach a message, I'll preach it. And if I love him so much of my heart, which I do, the fear factor is gone. Which brings me to the next thing. We're living in a world right now that's so dangerous. You watch the news and you see about churches assembled all across America and the world today. And they're concerned and they're worried about someone breaking in and shooting someone. We've heard it came. And it's possible. God told me very distinctly, very clearly, several years ago, we need a security team. Now, if he said it, that settles it. I didn't go to the deacon and say, what do you think? God says do it. He put me in charge. And if he's in charge, but he told me to do it. So we did it. And thank God for the security team we have here. We saw the results that someone shot someone in Texas. And a few seconds later, someone's security team took them out, or else there'd be numerous people dead. Now, it doesn't take a brain science to see that was a good move. You may not believe it, but God told us to have one. You know, the only thing is I was looking at that film that I saw wrong. Some people, rather than getting down, were standing up. Just think, if somebody comes in here this morning and starts shooting, we have a security team here. Thank God we do. And they're sharp shooters. In fact, I have a concealed permit myself. Do you carry a pistol? Well, I'll just say I've got a concealed permit. I don't carry one in church. But be all right if I did. But we have people and they're good. But you know, the only thing, if a shooter comes in and starts shooting and you lay low, our security team could take them out. But if you stand up, you're going to get in their way and they're just going to kill more people. The only thing I saw wrong in that picture was people jumping up and doing, some people got down low. So instructions, balancing act. What do we do should someone be able to get through our security team out here and get in here and start shooting? If you don't have a gun and you don't have a permit to carry a gun and you're not a sharpshooter, get down. Other people are, and other people have it. You say, boy, I'm going to church. Well, think about this. I saw that someone got shot, and someone shot through windows of a car in Asheville last night. And somebody was in the car, got hit. Last year or a few months ago, someone was riding in Biltmore during the daylight and got killed driving. And no matter where you go, around here or anywhere, people are getting shot. So I'd say about the safest place I know is in the house of God. Could it happen? It's happened in other places. I'm saying the best thing that happened is mind the Lord. He said to have a security team. They're well trained. We have people come in and we go through the motion. One time we had, okay, preacher, pretend you're up here. And I knew they was coming in. I knew people was going to be coming in with guns. This is practice, right? And I'm going to be pretending, and I was reading, and I was talking. And I knew they was coming in, but one of my greatest friends in my life came through that door with a hood on, with a gun, and I knew they was going to do it. And I froze just like this. Rather than getting, I'm telling you, we do need to practice, don't we? It was just so shocking. I knew they was going to come in and do this, and I froze anyway. But I'm telling you, it's the best thing to do. It's a balancing act, okay? Yeah, you're here, and your child's there. I'm going to get up and run to my child. No, a balancing act says, hey, the safest thing you can do is get down and let the shooters take care of a person that's going to cure. And if somebody's got a gun in here, and if somebody don't stop them, a lot of people's going to get hurt. That's just common sense. But there, again, there's no argument in it because God said do it. Do I know he said do it? I know he said do it. Told me to do as much as I know I'm standing here. That's all that matters. God said do it. You can be against it or you can be for it. But I've learned the best thing for me to do is be for what God says. And if I go my way, it's a 50-50 at best. So we've seen this morning balancing acts in their life. Attitudes, actions, and adjustments. Sometimes a balancing act in my life is, let me tell you about this camera situation. I already have. So I pretty much said, okay, I can't take it to Israel. And if I take it to the Snake River, it breaks. I know he let that happen. So I'll just completely stop taking pictures. That wasn't a good balancing act, was it? And so now for a couple of years, I haven't even, my battery's completely dead. My camera, you know, that I got, and it's a very good camera. And I go, I'm supposed to take pictures to give illustrations for messages. And I couldn't because I put more priority on that than I did anything else. I wanted a good picture. So I said, I just can't balance it. So I just threw it down. And the Lord reminded me as I was reading the scripture. I gave you the training. I gave you the camera. All you need to learn to do is balance. So I threw the balancing rod down, right? And God says, pick it back up. You're learning. And yeah, you caused some log jams and you caused some different directions. He said, I gave you all that for a reason. And all I have to do is just learn to balance things. Your life and mine, exactly. Your attitudes, your actions, the adjustments we make in life. And now there's an adjustment in my life on this balancing act with the camera. I don't know what God's placed in your heart this morning, but surely He's placed something in your life about balancing. First of all, it takes an attitude. And then there will be actions. Has to be an attitude right, first of all. That's about 95% of people's problem, an attitude. Do I believe if God said do it, it can be done? Or do I start letting human, well, I can't do it. Get rid of that real quick. It's easy for me to get rid of because I just believe the Lord. Why? Attitude. Would you stand on your feet this morning? Experiencing God's balancing requirements. There are consequences in your life and mine. Brother Randy, you have a song this morning. Lord, put it on your heart. First of the year, new time to a new beginning. And I'm dragging out my camera with the knowledge that I need to know. Pictures, not for quality or not to try to get a big enlargement and see how good a photographer I am. That was my mistake before. Just to do what God expects me to do with it, to take a picture that will give an illustration to further show that we don't mar a picture of Christ and his bride. Don't mar the picture. Brother Randy, altar is open. Listen to the Lord this morning as he spoke to your heart. I'm make up her mind ahead of time. No matter what, we can go with him. It's an attitude. Sometimes that has to be adjusted. The balancing act. And sometimes we don't, and there's jams. But aren't we thankful he opens up another way in his forgiveness? We've all messed up one time or other. Thank God for forgiveness. The water was still flowing in the other channel. Not as good as it was, but it was still flowing. And the grace of God still flows. No matter what we've done, God forgives. Learn his balancing act. All minds, hearts clear. Everyone done what God told you to do this morning. Don't forget services and that. Looking forward to it. First day of the year. Trusting God to do a mighty work within our heart. Brother Gary Wilkie, come up here, please, and pray with us for us. Continue remembering Miss Gail. So much to pray for. Remember Sister Sanders, she gets discouraged and not able to do anything, but we're waiting on that new hip replacement as soon as we can.
Let's all pray. Father, we do thank you for this privilege, Lord, we have to come together to worship you and adore you and hear freshly from the Word of God what the message is that you have for each one of us. Lord, you know the needs that we all have, Father. You know those in our church family, Father, that have sickness and disease, those that need a healing, Father. You know exactly what the needs are, and we're going to trust you to take care of those needs. Father, you know the financial needs and family needs, Lord, and the homes that need a touch. But, Father, help us, Lord, just put you first, trust you for it all. And, Lord, we thank you for that, and we thank you for the Word of God and for the lessons we've learned even this morning. Father, just help us to be about our Father's business and to be doing your will, we pray, in Jesus' name. Help each one this year, we pray, and supply all the needs according to your riches and glory. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.